Will the Senate please come to order? Members, please vote to signify your presence.
The roll shows 20 members present.
Please stand for the invocation by our chaplain, Amanda Green.
Dear Heavenly Father, as the end of session draws near and the tension and stress levels rise, please grant the senators, their staff, and their loved ones the strength and clarity to continue to make the right decisions, the endurance to overcome the long hours, and the heart to stay passionate about their work. In your name we pray, amen. Amen.
Senator Stedman, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God,
Will the secretary please certify the journal?
I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 116th legislative day.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent the journal be approved as certified by the secretary.
Without objection, the journal will be approved as certified by the secretary. Brief news, please. Yeah. Will the Senate please come back to order? An introduction of guests. Are there guests for introduction today?
Madam President.
Senator Davis.
Thank you very much. I have a guest in the Grove Gallery that I would like to introduce today. Her name is Marsha Davis, and she's been very involved here in the building, but this is the first time that she's had an opportunity to come to the Senate. She's also a constituent in my district. She's been very involved with AGEA, and she's attended a couple of my meetings and have been very helpful answering questions to constituents. So I want you to help me welcome her here and give her a warm welcome applause.
Are there perfect guests for introduction this morning? Message from the governor.
Message dated May 11th, stating, I have signed the following resolutions and bills and am transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. CS for Senate Bill Number 61, Finance Amended, Supplemental Appropriations, Education Funding, Chapter 10. House Bill Number 35, Extend Board of Midwives, Chapter 12. House Bill Number 168, Land Transfers, Alaska Railroad and DOTPA, Chapter Number 11. Senate CS for CS for House Joint Resolution Number 18, Transportation, Opposed Federal Air Transport Act Provisions, Legislative Resolve Number 8. House Concurrent Resolution Number 4, Suspend Uniform Rules for Senate Bill Number 49, Legislative Resolve 7. Those are all the messages from the governor, Madam President.
Messages from the House?
Message dated May 11th, stating the House adopted the report of the Conference Committee with limited powers of free conference considering CS for House Bill Number 171, State Affairs Amended, Accommodate 90-Day Session, Legislative Procedures, and Senate CS for CS for House Bill Number 171, State Affairs, thus adopting Conference CS for House Bill Number 171. Message dated May 11th, stating the House passed and returned the following. Senate Bill Number 103, Land Transfers, Alaska Railroad, and Eklutna. CS for Senate Bill Number 121, Labor and Commerce, Cruise Ship Discharge and Information. They have been referred for enrollment. Message dated May 11th, stating the House concurred in the Senate amendment to CS for House Joint Resolution Number 4, Rules, thus adopting Senate CS for House Joint Resolution Number 4, Resources, Kenai, Kasseloff, Subsistence Priority. Those are all the messages from the House.
Communications.
I have no communications.
Reports of standing committees.
Report dated May 11th, stating in accordance with AS 3905080, the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee reviewed the following and recommends the appointment be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. University of Alaska Board of Regents, William Andrews. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the individual during any further sessions. Signing the report, Senator Davis, Chair, Senators Cowdery, Dyson, Thomas, Elton. The Judiciary Committee considered CS for House Bill number 118 rules prohibit allowing minors to have alcohol and recommends a Judiciary Senate Committee substitute. Previous zero fiscal notes, signing no recommendation, Senator French, Chair, Senator Wilkowski. Signing due pass, Senators Terrio, McGuire. The bill has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. The Finance Committee considered CS for House Bill number 162, Labor and Commerce, Mortgage Lending, and recommends a Finance Senate Committee substitute forthcoming. Previous fiscal and zero fiscal notes. Signing due pass, Senator Stedman, co-chair, Senators Elton, Thomas, Huggins. Signing no recommendation, Senator Hoffman, co-chair, Senator Olson. The bill has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. The Rules Committee has placed the bill on today's calendar. The Finance Committee considered CS for House Bill number 177, Finance Amended Natural Gas Pipeline Project, and recommends a Finance Senate Committee substitute. New fiscal note, previous fiscal and zero fiscal notes, signing due pass, Senators Hoffman, Stedman, co-chairs, Senators Elton, Thomas, Dyson, Huggins, Olson. The bill has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. The Rules Committee has placed the bill on today's calendar. The Judiciary Committee considered CS for House Bill number 217, Judiciary, Tourism Disclosures and Notices, previous zero fiscal note, signing no recommendation, Senator French, Chair, Senators Terrio, Wilkowski, McGuire.
House Bill 217 has not received a due pass recommendation on it, so one of the choices we have is that we have the opportunity to vote if this should go past and be on our calendar. And the question is, shall the bill be referred to the Rules Committee, notwithstanding the reports of the committees? Is there a debate? Sure, yeah, it is, please. Come back to order. Is there a debate? Senator Olson.
Actually, Madam President, I have another motion I'd like to make, and that would be to spread that prayer on the journal.
Thank you, Senator Olson, and the prayer will be spread on the journal. Is there a debate? Senator, what's your name? Ellis.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to just share some information with the body that may help us with this decision. And just a little leeway here to discuss a bill that's not immediately before us. Senate Bill 165 was the Senate companion to the legislation that's in question here, House Bill 217. The bills are the same. It's the cruise ship reporting bill that has the support of the initiative sponsors because it does make adjustments to what the public vote was. It has the strong, strong support of small businesses across the state. It's a consensus bill that's brought both sides together, and I do believe we should have the opportunity to work on it. So I thank the Senator from Juneau for his good work. He brought the Senate bill to Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to expedite. There were two due passes from myself and the Senator from East Anchorage for the Senate version of the bill, and so I would recommend a yes vote for us to give our approval to moving House Bill 217 forward for a floor vote, or for calendaring. Thank you.
Further debate? There being no further debate, shall the bill CS for House Bill 217 Judiciary be referred to the Rules Committee, notwithstanding the report of the committee. Members may proceed to vote. All members have voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And Secretary will tally the vote.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, CS for House Bill 217 will be sent to the Rules Committee, notwithstanding the report of the committee. Senator French.
Brief at ease.
Will the Senate please come back to order? Madam Secretary, next item.
The Finance Committee considered CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 6, HESS, Civics Education Citizens Advisory Task Force, and recommends the previous Special Committee on Education, Senate Committee substitute. Previous fiscal notes, signing due pass, Senators Hoffman, Stedman, co-chairs, Senators Thomas, Dyson, Huggins. Signing no recommendation, Senator Olson. The resolution has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. Those are all the standing committee reports.
Reports of special committees.
I have no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 9 by the Senate Judiciary Committee, suspending rules 24C, 35, 41B, and 42E Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature concerning House Bill Number 90 relating to criminal activity and criminal law and procedure.
That bill will be held on the Secretary's desk.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 10 by the Senate Finance Committee suspending Rules 24C, 35, 41B, and 42E Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature concerning House Bill Number 209 relating to the Chair of the Regulatory Commission of Alaska and amending the timeline requirements for a final order of the Commission.
Okay, that will be held on the Secretary's desk as well.
Those are all the Senate resolutions for introduction.
Introduction of Senate bills.
I have no Senate bills for introduction.
Consideration of a daily calendar.
CS for Senate Bill Number 69, Finance, by the Senate Finance Committee, an act relating to the creation of a Civil Legal Services Fund. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, and here's our fiscal note. Signing do pass, Senator French, Chair, Senators Terrio, Wilikowski, McGuire. Signing no recommendation, Senator Huggins. The Finance Committee considered the bill and recommended a Finance Committee substitute, previous zero fiscal note. Signing do pass, Senator Hoffman, co-chair, Senators Elton, Thomas, Dyson, Huggins. Signing no recommendations, Senator Stedman, co-chair, Senator Olson. There is a Finance Committee substitute.
Senator Stedman.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute be used in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Finance Committee version will be considered in lieu of the original bill.
I have no amendments.
Senator Stevens.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that CS for Senate Bill 69, Finance, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we're in third reading.
CS for Senate Bill Number 69, Finance, an act relating to the creation of a Civil Legal Services Fund.
Is there debate? Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Madam President, and I want to extend a particular thank you to you to allow this idea to be before the State Senate today. The bill, in much its same form, has passed the other body unanimously three different times over the last 6 years. It's an idea that is born out of diminishing state funds and creativity, Madam President. Alaska Legal Services is a group that helps folks who cannot afford legal help in the civil arena. And I have a map right here showing where those offices are as of 2005. They're in the hometowns of most of the people here on the floor. They're in Kotzebue, they're in Nome, Bethel, Bristol Bay, Fairbanks, Anchorage, Juneau, and Ketchikan. And those offices are hopping on most days. They deal primarily, frankly, Madam President, in recent years with helping those individuals in our community that are disabled, who are receiving SSI, Social Security, for disabled folks. They don't understand their way through the process. They don't have enough money to hire a lawyer. And so they show up in these offices around our great state and call upon the attorneys who serve there at a much reduced salary for what they could be working for in many of the private firms around our state. And so they get to see the poor, the elderly, women and children who are in domestic violence shelters, and they try to help them go through the legal system. This bill is supported by a wide cross section of Alaskans, both conservatives and maybe more liberals, for different reasons. The conservative folks that have talked to me have said, you know, Senator McGuire, we have to do something about these individuals that come into the court system and represent themselves pro se. Every person has a right to access the court system under the Constitution of Alaska. So you get the opportunity to go in, and so who gets to deal with those folks once they come in? It's the judge sitting at the front who tries his or her best to help that elderly person, that disabled person, sort of navigate through the legal system. And it costs a lot of money, it costs a lot of time, and frankly, it creates problems in the courtroom for those that are there, because it puts people in an awkward situation when they're supposed to be a neutral adjudicator, and they've got somebody who clearly needs an advocate for them before them. So the judges in our state have come to me The folks who work here have come to me. The folks who benefit, AARP, those folks have come to me and asked me to support this bill. The bill was changed at the request of the co-chairman of finance, and I think it was an appropriate change given where we are in our fiscal times. And what he wanted to assure, Madam President, was that we would only use the punitive damages fund, so that this would not be a recurring obligation under the general fund, that we wouldn't have any sort of idea what that obligation would be. So what you'll see in the bill is a reference to Title IX, 917-020J, which is the punitive damages fund. And as you know, Madam President, there are funds that come in there to the state of Alaska, and it seems appropriate that those funds would be used, those funds taken from a legal matter to go ahead and help provide civil legal assistance to low-income Alaskans. And I guess I would just wrap up by saying we give these services to the folks in the criminal arena. It's a constitutional obligation. It is not viewed the same way in the civil arena, and so we've funded it down to zero through the years. But Madam President, certainly when you're talking about someone's Social Security they receive as a disabled person, someone who is a senior, someone who lives on modest means, the difference between some of these civil judgments and not could mean the kind of effect that a criminal imposition would have on somebody. It could be a, frankly, close to a life or death matter for some of these folks that are living on the edge. So I appreciate the support of all who have helped me work on it, and a special thank you to the folks who have come to my office over the years advocating for this.
It's a debate. Senator French.
Just briefly, Madam President, thank you. There are all sorts of lawyers in the world. There are Wall Street lawyers and Main Street lawyers. There are city lawyers and country lawyers. There are lawyers who work for the world's most powerful corporations, and there are some lawyers who work for tiny little nonprofits. An example in my community is the Disability Law Center, where four or five folks go to work every day and trying to work for the folks in the world who are handicapped and otherwise disabled. There's a group of lawyers who are committed to working for poor people, working for social justice. And it's the lawyers that work for the Alaska Legal Services Corporation that fall into that category. When I graduated from law school, I went to work for a judge, Judge John Reese, who in his earlier days came to Alaska and founded the Alaska Legal Services Corporation. So I'm proud to stand up today and speak in support of this bill, and would move and ask unanimous consent that I'd be added as a co-sponsor to it.
Without objection, you will be shown as a co-sponsor. Senator Ellis as well. Senator Elton. Senator Wilkowski. Senator Thomas? Is there further debate? Senator Dyson wishes to be shown as a co-sponsor. Is there further debate? Question being, shall CS for Senate Bill 69 Finance pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All senators have voted. The Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? The Secretary will record the vote, and the Secretary will tally the vote.
16 yeas, 4 nays.
And so CS for Senate Bill 69 Finance has passed the Senate.
CS for House Bill number 110, Labor and Commerce, by the House Labor and Commerce Committee. An act amending the powers and duties of the Legislative Audit Division regarding the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, amending the annual report requirements for the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, extending the termination date for the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee considered the bill, previous fiscal note, signing due pass, Senators Hoffman, Stedman, co-chair, Senators Elton, Thomas, Dyson, Huggins. I have no amendments.
Madam President, I move to ask unanimous consent that CS for House Bill 110, Labor and Commerce, be considered engrossed, advance a third reading, and placed on final passage.
We're in third reading.
CS for House Bill number 110, Labor and Commerce, an act amending the powers and duties of the Legislative Audit Division regarding the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, amending annual report requirements for the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, extending the termination date for the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Madam President. Section 4 of the bill extends the life of the Regulatory Commission of Alaska for 4 years till 2011. The original auditor's proposal was a 6-year extension, and the legislature, through the committee process, has decided on a four-year, or is proposing here a four-year extension. Section 1 of the bill requires an audit every 2 years of information in the RCA's annual report, timeline extensions, and other performance measures established by the commission. So we'll have more information on which to base future decisions. Section 2 changes the date of the commission's annual reporting from February 15th to November 15th and specifies that it must contain details of its compliance with timelines and extensions, some information that we've long wanted. There are various effective dates here, and I can provide more information if necessary. But it's the extension bill. I think it's a good proposal. And I personally want to thank the chair of the Labor and Commerce Committee in the other body. This is, as you know, RCA bills sometimes provoke outbursts and conflicts, and the chair on the other side comported himself, and his committee acted in a very calm, professional manner. I think they've made the right call here, and I would recommend this good work to the Senate. Thank you.
Is there further debate? No further debate. Shall CS for House Bill 110, Labor and Commerce, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All senators have voted. The Secretary will lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? The Secretary will record the vote and tally the vote.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
So CS for House Bill 110, Labor and Commerce, has passed the Senate.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the final passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clauses.
Without objection, the vote on the bill will be considered the vote on the effective date clauses.
House Bill number 132 by Representative Escoto, Salmon, Lynn, Newman, Johansson, Harris, Kurtula, Johnson, Dahlstrom, Stoltz, Coring, Senator McGuire. An act designating the first Tuesday of May as Alaska Agriculture Day. The State Affairs Committee considered the bill. Previous zero fiscal note, signing due pass, Senator McGuire chair, Senators French, Stevens, Green. I have no amendments.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 132 be considered in gross and advanced third reading and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we're in third reading.
House Bill number 132. An act designating the first Tuesday of May as Alaska Agriculture Day.
Is there a debate? Is there a discussion?
Should I? Thank you. Madam President, the member from the other body has asked me to carry this today in honor of the good people from your back home there. And the folks in the agriculture community would like to highlight, particularly for young people, the first Tuesday in May each year to recognize the contributions of the agriculture industry in Alaska. And as it was explained to us, the real goal is to get the 4-H kids and the folks that are interested in it to become more aware about the role agriculture plays in our lives in Alaska.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? There being no further discussion, shall the Senate approve and pass House Bill 132? Members may proceed to vote. Secretary will lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote and tally the vote.
19 yeas, 0 nays.
And so HB 132 has passed the Senate. Rivities, please. Please come back to order. Senator Stevens.
Madam President, I move that we take a reconsideration of my vote on Senate Bill 53.
Reconsideration has been brought up on CS for Senate Bill 53, Finance. Is there a debate? Senator Terrio.
Go ahead, just a brief it is, please.
Brief it is. Will the Senate please come back to order? Senator Terrio.
Thank you, Madam President. I move and ask unanimous consent that we go back to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment, that being amendment number 1.
Without objection, we are in second reading.
I will move amendment number 1, ask unanimous consent. Thank you. Appreciate the latitude to reoffer the amendment today, just to go over a little bit of the argument that was laid out yesterday. The request from the administration was for $4.5 million to do a complete risk assessment on the pipeline system, the gathering lines, and the port facility in Valdez. So it would be a top-to-bottom assessment of the integrity of our oil and gas system here in the state. As we all know, with the problems that developed on the North Slope, we have gotten a little bit of a black eye for perhaps not being as vigilant as we should be here in the state of Alaska. The proposal was that half the money would come from the general fund, and the 2.5 from the general fund was or is included in the budget. The second half of the proposal was that the other $2.5 million come from the response fund, which currently has a balance of $41.5 million in it. That fund gets replenished out of a penny off of every barrel that is produced, and it would take about a year, one calendar year, to come up with the $2.5 million. The pipeline system, the state has never done a complete assessment on the system in the 30 plus years of its operation. We expect that with the resource up on the North Slope, that the system is capable of operating for another 25 years, and believe that it is appropriate to do this assessment. There has been a suggestion that, we'll just break it into two pieces, and if we do so, I think we'll move forward with much less efficiency. They will have to go out with an RFP to get a contractor. It's very specialized skills. They want to attract a contractor that can work the entire evaluation, not just part of it. If they only get partial funding, there's a possibility that they will have to go out to at least two, possibly more RFPs, and because they will not be able to guarantee that one contractor will be able to carry through from start to finish. Also, if we do not pass the amendment today, we may come back next year, and the proposal next year may be that it come out of general fund. So the state treasury will be picking up all of the cost instead of the industry itself picking up a portion of the cost, which I believe is appropriate. Certainly, if we can avoid any kind of shutdown, slowdown in the system, the industry and the state is able to recoup the money just because of the time value of money. We don't lose any production or slow down the production. So as I mentioned yesterday, a sizable overall budget bill. We in the minority only have one amendment. This is it. It doesn't add general funds. It adds the funding from the response fund. We believe that although we have suggested that the overall spend of general funds in this package is higher than we feel comfortable with, we believe that if you were to stop 10 people on the street of any town in Alaska and explain what it is we're covering here, why it is we're doing it, that it's not general fund dollars, it's something that is self-funded from the industry, that would be the type of thing that your general Alaskan would be supportive of. So with that, I would ask for support for the amendment. Thank you.
Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise in opposition to the amendment. Not that the issue of review of our oil gas infrastructure is needed to protect the state's interest, because it is, and the state is moving forward with a thorough review of that. As the previous speaker had mentioned, that's going to go on probably for several years, and I would expect that would lead to some adjustments within our statute systems and our regulations. But the $2.5 million in the response fund was removed from the Senate CS for two reasons. There was concern about use of the funding from the response account rather than the prevention account for the risk assessment. The response fund is normally used only for responding to actual release of oil and other hazardous substances. Expenditure of funds from the response account for purposes other than responding to a release is normally conditioned upon a disaster declaration by the governor, or alternatively requires the commissioner of the DEC to report the use of the funds of the account to the LB&A committee within five days of using the response account money. The project documentation submitted by DEC indicates that this is an ongoing and multi-year effort. As such, we believe the deletion of the response fund portion of the request would not deter implementation of the risk assessment. DEC has confirmed that the risk assessment project can begin without the full $5 million appropriations. That's a very critical component. There is a need to have this risk assessment done sooner than later. and have that data brought into the legislature so we can take appropriate action to make sure that all steps that can reasonably be taken by the elected officials are taken to ensure the protection of the citizens' oil and gas and the citizens' revenue stream of the state of Alaska. That, Madam President, I urge a rejection of this amendment. Thank you.
Is there further debate? Senator Cherryo.
Just in wrap up, it is a multi-year effort, and that's why a capital appropriation is appropriate. Capital appropriations have a five-year life, and so they would have the money to contract for the full effort, even though it will take place over a number of years. To do otherwise just makes it a much less efficient process and possibly a much less effective process. The backup that I believe was attached to every copy of the amendment that was distributed shows that the request was structured and put forth by the Department of Environmental Conservation, so quite clearly they do not see any technical problem with utilizing this source of funds. It just strikes me as being common sense that we would want to say to the rest of the nation and the Congress that is holding hearings in the next couple days about the integrity of the pipeline and the overall oil development system in the state of Alaska, that we would want to indicate that we're on top of it, we have a plan, it's well funded, and we're moving forward. Thank you.
Senator Evans.
Yeah, Madam President, thank you very much. I took the liberty last night to speak to some representatives from DEC, and they assured me that they did not request this amendment, and they're comfortable with the process as it's laid out in the timeline. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? The question is, shall the Senate adopt Amendment Number 1 to CS for Senate Bill 53 Finance? Members may proceed to vote. All senators have voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And Secretary will tally the vote.
5 yeas, 15 nays.
So the Senate has failed to adopt Amendment Number 1. Is there further debate? Senator Wilken.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair. Madam President, yesterday the co-chair gave us a little glimpse of history and how this capital budget compared to others. And my work being done with the fiscal plan, I thought perhaps it would be helpful for us to look back a little bit further in regard to how this budget stacks up against others. I went back 10 years and looked at capital budgets. This capital budget, as it sits today before it goes to the House, is at $461.8 million general funds. And to have truth in budgeting, there's $47 million in the Alaska Capital Fund, that's the Amerada Hess earnings in the permanent fund earnings reserve that's being spent, and that's okay, but we just want to make sure we classify that. It's really general fund dollars. So that's about $509 million capital budget, and that's a number I'd like to compare other years to, but before I move on to that, we're also spending $75 million out of the Railbelt Energy Fund, and I'm not even going to get into that food fight, but that takes this budget to about $584 million in general fund. But let's for the moment just think that this is about a $509 million general fund capital budget on its way to the House. If you look back 10 years, the purpose of this whole thing is for folks not to think that we're always at $500 million capital budgets. If we look back from FY98 to FY04, our capital budgets, the average for those 7 years was $93 million. We had a low of $70 million in FY01 and a high of $110 million in FY02 and 03. So $93 million between 1998 and 2004 fiscal years. If we look back the last 3 years plus this budget, 4 years, these budgets are going to average $470 million of general fund money. We went to $160 million in FY05. We went to $480 million in FY06, and of course the big one last year, FY07, $780 million. So the average again, $470 million. It's safe to say then that the prior 7 years capital budgets compared to the last 4 years are a multiple of five, so 500% greater. This is going to, of course, go on to the House, and I know that they've been told there's another $20 million in discretionary, so there's another 20, so I'm a little concerned how they're going to abuse our budget. But having said it, this is on its track to be the second highest capital budget, and I don't pass any judgment whatsoever on that. There's pent-up demand, and we need to get this state ready for a pipeline and for the needs of the people, and I'd rather build capital budget and build the bureaucracy. But I think it serves us to stop and think that those that haven't been through those years of $100 million capital budgets, that was essentially the norm, and the last few years have been extraordinary. And as we all know, this kind of money is going to get more difficult to come by, and that we want to be aware of the fact that what is today hasn't been the past, and we need to be aware of that as we predict the future to build our state. So, with that, thank you, Madam Chair.
Is there further debate? Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Madam President. I think when we take a look at just a couple of things, when we take a look at how we define sources of revenue, clearly the Capital Income Fund and the Rail Belt Energy Fund is classified as other funds, non-GF, by Ledge Finance and OMB. So we can all be creative in how we define interpretations and. But clearly, I rely on Ledge Finance and OMB and past practices. But if we take a look at this budget, and we look up the capital budget, what was presented by the governor along with amendments, and we add in the general fund monies and other funds, which would include those funds that were just mentioned, we in this body added about 18% to the total. So most of the vast majority of the capital budget process was offered by the administration to the departments and across the state. All those issues were brought forward and assembled. We worked with the administration, and then, of course, we added our little bit, and that 18% to derive at the final numbers. In the House, we'll add some stuff. When we look back in history and where we are today and then forward into the future, clearly there was a time a few handful of years ago that the oil price was substantially lower than it is today, and the budgetary constraints that were put upon the state of Alaska, the concentration was put in the operating side and not the capital side of the state. And as you do that for several years, you still continue to have wear and tear on your infrastructure. And you do not gain the ability to create a lot of jobs and employment and push the state forward. So as we went into the couple of years where we had some good surpluses, not only have we pumped up the capital budget to catch up on this infrastructure, but also to get ahead and start moving the state forward again so that the kids in school today have an opportunity tomorrow for jobs and security when they're raising their families. There will come a time in the next handful of years, hopefully it's a handful and not less than a handful of years, when we may, or most likely will be faced upon a time when we have to spend a lot of concentration again on the operating side, and we'll have small, in fact, maybe just federal match capital budgets. But we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. All depends on oil volume and the price. So we'll move forward when we look at our capital projects, put them in the system, some of which will take several years to expense out, and try to smooth out the economy and do what we can as an appropriating body to get away from the roller coaster ride that Alaska has a tendency of riding on far too long just due to a resource-based state. And with that, Madam President, I'm very proud to stand in this body today and offer this capital budget. It's fair. The vast majority of it was put together with great consideration from the administration, sent to the committee. The committee reviewed it, made very minor tweaks to it, and added an 18% little increment on top of it for a few projects that the committee thought should be added. That, Madam President, is the second best looking capital budget ever put forth to the last legislature.
Is there further debate?
Thank you. And just to wrap up, The problem, I think, or the concern from the minority is that it's just too big. We believe the numbers show us that we're going into deficit spending, saving a little bit more money this year to spread it out over time so that we have funds for appropriations in out years we think would be appropriate. We also might need some of those dollars for operational costs. Similar to last year, and I know that a comparison was made that this budget is lower than last year. Of course, last year's budget was at a level of spending that many of us, even the majority, felt that we just could not support it, that it was unwise level of spending. Also, very disappointed that the previous amendment, the one amendment that we offered today, did not pass. With regards to the comment that people had checked with the DEC, and they had not requested it, I guess we chose to work with the DEC's boss, and that's the administration here on the third floor, and that's who we were trying to support with that amendment. So I believe, although I'm not sure that members haven't perhaps changed their mind, I believe that the votes out of the minority today will be no, not because there aren't some good projects in this list, but there's just too many of them. And put that on the record that we're not against any capital spending. I think we just need to keep a little bit better control on the total spending. Thank you.
Is there further debate? There being no further debate, shall CS for Senate Bill 53, Finance, pass the Senate on reconsideration. Members may proceed to vote. All members have voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, and the Secretary will tally the vote.
15 yeas, 5 nays.
And so CS for Senate Bill 53, Finance, has passed the Senate on reconsideration.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on reconsideration be considered the vote on the effective date clauses.
Without objection, the vote on passage will be considered the vote on the effective dates clauses. Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Madam President. Under unfinished business, move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to waive House Bill number 186, short-lived time in our hands there, an act relating to sharing with certain federal agencies records required of sport fishing guides from the Senate State Affairs Committee, and I do have the signature of all members here.
Thank you.
Godspeed to the bill.
President, I think she misspoke.
We are not under unfinished business. Is your objection to waiving House Bill 186 from?
Out of order. That's just inappropriate of where we are in the calendar.
Thank you. Then we'll come back to order, please. Senator Bundy.
Thank you. Might we move back up the calendar introduction to guests?
Yes. Without objection, we're under introduction of guests.
Thank you. In the gallery behind me, I had the pleasure of introducing some constituents. Watching our actions this morning are, of course, is Commissioner Pat Galvin. More importantly, are his constituents, his wife Elise and his daughter Bridget, the soccer champ. If they would stand, we could welcome them to the Senate.
We're back into consideration of the daily calendar. Senator McGuire, did you have a motion? Senator Stevens.
Madam President, I believe Senator McGuire wishes to withdraw her motion.
Senator McGuire, would you
I would like to withdraw my motion.
Madam President, I'd like to move down to unfinished business.
Without objection, we're under unfinished business. Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Madam President. This is a great day to practice parliamentary procedure here. So, Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to waive House Bill number 186, an act relating to the records of sport fishing guides out of the Senate State Affairs Committee, and I do have still all signatures of all the members.
And without objection, we will waive House Bill 186 out of State Affairs. We're back under consideration of the daily calendar. We'll go ahead and break now for lunch, and then Senate Finance will meet and get work done on some bills, and we'll be back here at about 2 o'clock, not before 2. Thank you. Will the Senate please come back to order? Senator Stevens.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that we move back up the calendar to messages from the House.
Without objection, we are under messages from the House.
Message dated May 12th, stating the House concurred in the Senate amendment to CS for House Bill number 109, Judiciary Amended, thus adopting Senate CS for House Bill number 109, Finance Amended Senate, Disclosures and Ethics Bribery Retirement, Title Change Resolution SCR 6. Message dated May 12th, stating the House concurred in the Senate amendments to House Bill number 229, Amended, thus adopting Senate CS for House Bill number 229, Finance Amended Senate, Kenai Gasification Project Railroad Bond. Message dated May 12th, stating the House has passed and is transmitting the following for consideration. CS for House Bill number 88, Finance, by the House Finance Committee. An act relating to televisions, monitors, portable computers, and similar devices in motor vehicles, relating to the definition of physical injury for the Alaska Uniform Vehicle Code and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Judiciary.
House Concurrent Resolution number 9 by Representatives Harris, Dahlstrom, Gardner, Olson, congratulating Alaska Airlines on its 75th anniversary.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that HCR 9 be taken up at this time.
Objection, HCR 9 is before us. We're on final passage. Is there debate?
Question.
Senator Wilkin.
Madam President, move and ask unanimous consent I be shown as a cross-sponsor, HCR 9.
Senator Wilkin will be shown as a cross-sponsor, Senator Cowdery, Senator Elson, Senator Stevens, Senator Bundy, Senator Dyson, Senator Kukesh, Senator Davis, Senator Ellis, and Senator Terrio, and Senator Wagner. Is there debate? Senator Stevens.
Madam President, just to make this very brief, it is the 75th anniversary of Alaska Airlines. They've been major company here in Alaska for many years. We're all dependent on them, and we just wish them and want to acknowledge their 75 years of service to Alaska.
Thank you. Is there further debate? If not, shall HCR 9 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Have all the members voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Do any senators wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, and Secretary will tally the vote.
19 yeas, 0 nays.
And so HCR 9 has passed the Senate. Brief it is. Please come back to order. Madam Secretary, will you continue with messages from the House?
Message dated May 12th, stating the House has passed and is transmitting the following for consideration. House Concurrent Resolution number 11, suspending Rules 24C, 35, 41B, and 42E, Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill number 125 relating to contributions to the Public Employees Retirement System of Alaska and the Teachers Retirement System, participation in the defined benefit plans of those systems, contributions to the Health Reimbursement Arrangement Plan, and related matters.
The bill will be held on the Secretary's desk.
Concur message dated May 12th. Stating the House passed CS for Senate Bill number 125, Finance, PERS, TERS, Contributions, Unfunded Liability with the following amendment. House CS for CS for Senate Bill number 125, Finance, Title Change Resolution, HCR 11, and it is returned for consideration.
That will be held on the Secretary's desk.
Those are all the messages from the House, Madam President.
Communications.
I have no communications.
Reports of standing committees.
The State Affairs Committee considered CS for House Bill number 45, Military and Veterans Affairs, State Veterans Cemetery and Fund, previous indeterminate and zero fiscal notes, signing due pass, Senator McGuire Chair, Senators French, Stevens, Green, Bundy. The bill has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee considered CS for House Bill Number 90, Finance, Crimes, Criminal Procedures, Sentencing, and recommends a Finance Senate Committee substitute, forthcoming, new fiscal note, previous indeterminate and zero fiscal notes, signing no recommendation, Senators Hoffman, Stedman, co-chairs, Senators Elton, Thomas, Olson, Huggins, signing amend, Senator Dyson. The bill has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. The State Affairs Committee considered CS for House Bill Number 151, Judiciary Indemnity Clause in Public Contracts, previous zero fiscal note, signing due pass, Senator McGuire, chair, Senator Green, signing no recommendation, Senators French, Bundy. The bill has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Resources Committee considered House Joint Resolution Number 17, amended, Kensington Mine Appeal, previous zero fiscal note, signing due pass, Senator Huggins, chair, Senators Green, McGuire, Stevens. The resolution has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. The Resources Committee considered CS for House Joint Resolution Number 21, Resources, oppose UN land designations in Alaska, previous zero fiscal note, signing due pass, Senator Huggins, chair, Senators Green, McGuire, Stevens. The resolution has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. The State Affairs Committee considered CS for House Joint Resolution Number 22, Rules, denounce sale of rapist doll, and recommends a State Affairs Senate Committee substitute, forthcoming, previous zero fiscal note, signing due pass, Senator McGuire, chair, Senators French, Stevens, Green, Bundy. The resolution has no further referral. It is in the Rules Committee. Those are all the standing committee reports.
Reports of special committees.
I have no special committee reports.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
I have no Senate resolutions for introduction.
Introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill Number 178 by the Senate Finance Committee. An act relating to school funding, the base student allocation, district cost factors, the local contribution, and the intensive services adjustment for state funding of public education, providing for an effective date by repealing the delayed effective date of Section 6, Chapter 41, SLA 2006, and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
I have no further Senate bills for introduction.
Consideration of the daily calendar.
CS for House Bill Number 133, Finance, by the House Finance Committee. An act relating to requiring electronic monitoring as a special condition of probation and parole for offenders whose offense was related to a criminal street gang. The Finance Committee considered the bill, previous indeterminate and zero fiscal notes, signing due pass, Senators Hoffman, Stedman, co-chairs, Senators Elton, Thomas, Dyson, Huggins, Olson. I have no amendments.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that CS for House Bill Number 133, Finance, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Object.
Brief at ease.
I'd like to remove my objection.
Thank you, Senator McGuire. We're in third reading. Have you read it third time? Okay.
Okay. CS for House Bill Number 133, Finance. An act relating to requiring electronic monitoring as a special condition of probation and parole for offenders whose offense was related to a criminal street gang.
It's your debate. Senator Wilkowski.
Madam President, HB 133 addresses gang violence, which has become a growing problem, particularly in Anchorage. It would require people who are convicted of violent gang-related crimes to wear electronic monitoring devices when they are released on probation or parole. This bill addresses a well-known problem where gang members have been convicted of violent crimes and go back to gang activity. Their recidivism rates are very high. With these devices, gang members will have a harder time going back to their old ways. It gives gang members a way to break out of the gang culture. It also gives our law enforcement agencies a tool for monitoring gang activity and to put a stop to it. A similar type of provision has worked very effectively in California. This bill has been requested by the Anchorage Police Department and is a priority for the municipality of Anchorage. It has been endorsed by the police departments around the state. I should note there is a sunset provision to make electronic monitoring a pilot program. HB 133 requires the program to come before the legislature in 5 years before it can be continued. I urge you to support this legislation and join me in giving the police departments across the state an important law enforcement tool and in sending a message to gang members that their activities will not be tolerated. And with that, I'd like to be added as a cross-sponsor on this bill, Madam President. Without objection. Thank you.
Senator Wilkowski will be added as a cross-sponsor. Senator McGuire. Senator Terrio. Senator Bundy. Senator Ellis. Senator Dyson. And myself. Senator Olson. Senator Cowdery. Is there further debate? There being no further debate, the question is, shall CS for House Bill 133 Finance pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members have voted. The Secretary will lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, and Secretary will tally the vote.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
So CS for House Bill 133 Finance has passed the Senate.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that CS for House Bill 162 be moved to the bottom of the calendar.
Without objection, CS for House Bill 162 will be moved to the bottom of the calendar. Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration on HCR 9 and ask that reconsideration be brought up the same day.
Please. Senator McGuire.
Record.
Senator Terrio.
Madam President, because in order to give notice of reconsideration, you have to be here for the original vote, I will offer notice of reconsideration on HCR 9 and move that we bring it up on the same day.
HCR 9 is before us under reconsideration on the same legislative day. Is there debate? Question is, shall HCR 9 pass the Senate on reconsideration? Members may proceed to vote. All senators have voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. The Secretary will tally the vote.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
So HCR 9 has passed the Senate on reconsideration.
Thank you very much. Because I was not here, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added as a cross-sponsor for HCR 9. And secondly, I would like to move serve notice of reconsideration on House Bill number, Senate Bill number 69 and ask that it be taken up the same day.
You will be shown as a cross-sponsor because there's been no objection.
I'll read it.
We're back on the record.
CS for Senate Bill number 69, Finance, an act relating to the creation of a civil legal services fund.
Is there debate? The question is, shall the Senate pass CS for Senate Bill 69, Finance, on reconsideration? Members may proceed to vote. All senators voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. Secretary will tally the vote.
17 yeas, 3 nays.
So, CS for Senate Bill 69 Finance has passed the Senate. Next item, Madam Secretary.
CS for House Bill number 177, Finance amended by the House Finance Committee.
CS for House Bill 177, Finance amended will be held to the next legislative day. Next item, Madam Secretary.
CS for House Bill number 185, Community and Regional Affairs, by the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to certain municipal service areas that provide road services. The Transportation Committee considered the bill. Previous zero fiscal note, signing due pass, Senator Kukesh chair, signing no recommendation, Senators Wilkin, Wilkowski. I have no amendments.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that CS for House Bill 185
Committee on Regional Affairs be considered engrossed, advanced to the third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we're in
CS for House Bill, CS for House Bill number 185, Community and Regional Affairs, an act relating to certain municipal service areas that provide road services.
Is there a debate? Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Madam President. I speak in favor of and encourage a yes vote on HB 185. House Bill 185 provides boroughs with a means of altering existing road service area boundaries to ensure fairness and fairness to the taxpayers among the residents of the adjacent service areas. It does so by making two very simple changes to the statute. First, HB 185 allows a municipality to annex property and place it within the proper service area whose roads the individual is utilizing for their sole or legally required access. The second issue this bill addresses involves members of a service area who do not utilize their service area roads for their sole or legally required access to their property. The state-mandated vote to make the necessary remedy is rarely successful because it means that people would have to vote to allow somebody out of the service district, and therefore it increases their percentage of the property tax. HB 185 amends the state law by allowing a borough assembly to exercise its judgment to alter by ordinance a service area boundary to exclude a property that does not use service area roads as its sole or legally required access. These changes are needed in state statute and cannot be accomplished at a local level. Therefore, I urge your support of HB 185.
Is there debate? If not, the question is, shall CS for House Bill 185, Community and Regional Affairs, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All senators have voted. The Secretary will lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, and Secretary will tally the vote.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
So, CS for House Bill 185, CRNA, has passed the Senate.
CS for House Bill number 209, Judiciary, by the House Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the chair of the Regulatory Commission of Alaska and amending the timeline requirements for a final order of the commission and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee considered the bill and recommended a Finance Senate Committee substitute, new indeterminate fiscal note, and fiscal note forthcoming. Signing no recommendations, Senators Hoffman, Stedman, co-chairs, Senators Alton Thomas, signing due pass, Senator Dyson Huggins. There's a Finance Senate Committee substitute.
Senator Stedman.
Yes, Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute be used in lieu of the original bill. And ask for an at-ease.
At-ease. To order. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Madam President. Speaking to the Minority Leader's request for an explanation of the Finance Committee substitute, the bill originally provided that the governor should appoint the RCA chair from among the commissioners and limited the appointment to 1 3-year term or 1 3-year term after a partial term. That's the version that came to Senate Finance. This provision was dropped in the Finance version, so we'll be at the status quo of the members electing their chair. There is a term limit, I believe, on the chair service, but we'll go back to the status quo. Sections 1 through 7 of Senate Finance version regard various timelines for completion of RCA work. Sections 1 through 5 translate monthly timelines and number of days, but the same number, or same amount of time. Section 6 provides that timeline extension limitations already in law apply to the new timelines established in Section 7. And Section 7 establishes a 180-day timeline for completion of any adjudicated docket matter not covered under Sections 1 through 5. So what's come through the process here and through the Senate Finance Committee is related that the timelines, the work of the RCA, that, in my opinion, strike the right wise balance between the needs of the commission staff, the needs of the public, and the needs of those applicants needing decisions from the RCA to get on with their work. So those are the changes. There is an artifact from a previous iteration here that will be taken care of by the reviser of statutes, an effective date that should have been left out of the previous version. So it's a little messy, but it can be handled as something that's not needed in this version. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam President, just a further question. There was one section, I believe, that there had been a suggestion of moving from 15 months to final decision to 9 months. I'm wondering if the previous speaker could just identify which one that was.
Senator Ellis.
Could we have a brief at ease, please?
Brief at ease. Well, let's set it come back to order, please. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Madam President. The answer to the minority leader's question is Section 3. I think we both located it here, but for other members, it is Section 3.
Is the objection maintained?
No.
We're in third reading?
No, we're not.
I have no amendments.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate CS proceedings for House Bill 209 Finance be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
We are now in third reading.
Senate CS for House Bill number 209 Finance, an act amending the timeline requirements for a final order of the Regulatory Commission of Alaska and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? And the question is, shall SCS for House Bill 209 Finance pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, and the Secretary will tally the vote.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
And so Senate CS for House Bill 209 Finance has passed the Senate.
That's a brief at ease, Madam President.
Brief at ease. Senate will come back to order.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on the final passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the date on the bill will be considered the date on the effective date clause.
And Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that SCR 10, the title change resolution, be taken up at this time.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 10 by the Senate Finance Committee, suspending Rules 24C, 35, 41B, and 42E Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature concerning House Bill Number 209 relating to the Chair of the Regulatory Commission of Alaska and amending the timeline requirements for a final order of the Commission.
To debate. Shall the Senate pass SCR 10? Members may proceed to vote. All members have voted. The Secretary will lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, and the Secretary will tally the vote.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
And so SCR 10 has passed the Senate.
CS for House Bill Number 213, Judiciary, by the House Judiciary Committee. An act relating to an aggravating factor at sentencing for crimes committed at or affecting persons or property at certain shelters and facilities. The Health, Education, and Social Services referral was waived. They heard the identical bill, Senate Bill 150. I have no amendments.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that CS for House Bill 213, Judiciary, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we're in third reading.
CS for House Bill Number 213, Judiciary, an act relating to an aggravating factor at sentencing for crimes committed at or affecting persons or property at certain shelters and facilities.
Is there debate?
Madam President.
Senator Davis.
It's my pleasure to speak to this bill. It was sponsored by, co-sponsored by 18 people on the other side. Domestic violence is a serious, significant, preventable public health challenge. Alaska has the distinction of being one of the top 5 states in our nation for per capita domestic violence rates. Alaska women have been killed by their partners at the rate of 1.5 times the national average. This particular bill will provide tools that can be used to send a message that crimes committed on the premises of shelters are deserving of the maximum allowed punishment, and that the safety that is expected in such an environment will be enforced and respected. For that reason, I ask all of you to vote for this bill, and I'm sure it would make someone on the other side quite happy. This is our first bill.
Senator Elton.
Thank you, Madam President. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a cross-sponsor if I'm not already.
Without objection, you will be shown as a cross-sponsor. Senator McGuire, Senator Stedman, Senator Rulikowski, Senator French, Senator Dyson, Senator Thomas, Senator Kukesh, Senator Ellis, Senator Bundy. I think this has a chance. Is there a debate? Senator Terrio.
Thank you, Madam President. Just a procedural issue. If you look up and down the calendar, all these bills have gone to at least one standing committee on the Senate side, and there have been votes have been taken. This one appears to have gone to the HES committee, but the referral was waived. So have we met the requirement of at least one due pass in our chain, our committee chain on the Senate side? Perhaps that's, if we can have a brief at ease.
In answer to the question that was asked by the minority leader, the procedure of waiving a bill through the committee process, as was done in this particular bill, qualifies it to be on the floor and to be heard and voted upon. Is there any further discussion? Senator French.
Just very briefly, Madam President, for the members who may not know, the exact same bill was heard, at least in the Judiciary Committee, where it garnered a strong support.
Thank you. Is there further debate? So we have before us CS for House Bill 213, Judiciary. Shall it pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All senators have voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And the Secretary will tally the vote.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
The CS for House Bill 213, Judiciary, has passed the Senate. CS for House Joint Resolution 15, State Affairs, will be held till the next legislative day.
CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 8, Labor and Commerce, by the House Labor and Commerce Committee, establishing a legislative task force to make recommendations regarding job descriptions and salary changes for the commissioners and support staff and the possible need for additional support staff of the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. The Finance Committee considered the resolution. Previous fiscal note, signing no recommendation, Senators Hoffman, Stedman, co-chairs. Signing due pass, Senators Elton, Dyson, Huggins, Thomas. I have no amendments.
Is there a debate? Question is, CS for House CR 8, Labor and Commerce, passed the Senate. Members may proceed to vote. All senators have voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And Secretary will tally the vote.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
And so CS for House CR 8, Labor and Commerce, has passed the Senate.
Citations, honoring Bruce Perry, honoring Yaquan Quang Viet Flight School, honoring Oscar Kawagli, in memoriam Elton Paul Dinkins, in memoriam Mary Angangwak Philip, in memoriam George Holman, in memoriam John Wasili.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations on today's calendar be approved.
And without objection, the citations on today's calendar will be approved.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation honoring Vernon Lee Joseph be brought up as a special order of business at this time.
Without objection.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent the citation be adopted.
Without objection, the citation for Vernon Lee Johnson will be adopted. Sir Ellis.
Brief at ease, please.
Will the Senate please come back to order? Sales for House Bill number 162, Labor and Commerce, will be held over until tomorrow's calendar. We have not gotten the final version nor the fiscal note. Unfinished business. Senator Stedman.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that we waive rule number 23 for SB 178, which is the 24-hour rule.
Without objection.
We're waiving the rule for what purpose?
To hear the legislation, to hear a bill. Senator Wilkin.
Speaking of the objection, this is day 116 of legislative year, and we're handed what amounts to a foundation formula fix adjustments. I would think that we would have enough respect for this process that we would at least give folks a day to prepare and to have folks out there in Alaska that are so concerned about this to prepare their testimony, even if it is a Sunday. So I would think that this would be a time that we not rush into this and that we give it due process. Thank you.
Is there further debate? Question is, shall we waive Uniform Rule 23 in regards to Senate Bill 178? Senators may proceed to vote. Have all members voted yes? Secretary will lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And the Secretary will tally the vote.
15 yeas, 5 nays.
So the Senate has agreed to waive Uniform Rule number 23 in regards to Senate Bill 178. Brief at ease. Is there further unfinished business? Senator Bundy?
Thank you. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused, not subject to call of the Senate, August 8th, 9th, and 10th for a minority caucus.
Senator Bundy and Senator Cherio, I have asked to be excused August 8th, 9th, and 10th without objection. Senator Huggins.
Yes, ma'am. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused, not subject to call of the Senate, from the following dates, June 27th to July the 3rd for state and personal business, July 26th, August 2nd for state business, September 27th to September the 30th, for state business, December 12th to 16th for state business.
Without objection, he will be excused. Senator Davis.
Madam President, I'd like to be a co-sponsor on Senate Bill 170. It's the well baby exam.
Okay. Senator Davis, without objection, you will be added as a co-sponsor on Senate Bill 170. Is there further unfinished business? Senator Terrio.
Thank you, Madam President. Offer notice of reconsideration on House Bill 209. 209.
Okay. That's reconsideration notice has been given on House Bill 209. Is there further unfinished business? Announcements? Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate Finance Committee will meet immediately following the adjournment of the session today.
Senator French.
Madam President, same announcement for the Judiciary Committee. We will meet immediately after the floor session to take up SB 168.
Okay. Are there further announcements? Special orders. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, Madam President, thank you very much. Request permission to leave the body to speak on Mother's Day.
On Mother's Day, Senator Huggins.
Yeah, I'd just like to take this opportunity, number one, to wish my wife a happy Mother's Day, Becky Huggins, back in Wasilla, because we will be here doing business. But more importantly, probably for some of the people here, in case you had some brain lapse, I would encourage you to do the recognition of Mother's Day, even if it's the latest moment. And it is a grand day for us and probably one of the most celebrated, at least in our society. So with that, I say happy Mother's Day to all Alaskan mothers.
Thank you. Further special orders? Senator Olson.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that we move back up the calendar to announcements.
Under announcements, Senator.
I just want to remind everybody, Madam President, thank you, that we have got tomorrow's Mother's Day brunch down at the Baranoff between 8:30 and 1:30 in the morning, put on by the City of Nome. We have a number of Nome City Council members and other dignitaries from up there that are going to be down there for this event. I want to encourage those legislators, their families, staffers, their families, and friends to come on down for this traditional feed that goes on down there. And with that, thank you, Madam President.
Thank you, Senator Wilson. Back under special orders. Senator Stevens.
I move the Senate adjourn until 3 p.m. Sunday, May 13th.
We are adjourned.